Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. So often we come again and we say that new beginnings is not just for the young. Amen. We say that over and over again. I'm sure that it hits home. We talk about new beginnings. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to New Beginnings Ministry. This is Blog Talk Radio. We are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. And we do thank you for tuning in. Those that are tuned in by internet, we thank you for tuning in, as well as those that call in. We do thank you. We are an interactive Bible study. And what we do is we just come together and interact over the blog, just talking about the Word of God and just encouraging each other, whatever, you know, however God may lead us. This evening we have our guest speaker is Dr. Larry Palmer from out of Maryland, and he's going to be speaking to you on time management. He spoke the last time he spoke was at the last month, and we just had such an overwhelming response, you know, that he decided to come back and do a part two on time management for the stand. So, thanks. So we're anxious to hear from him, and we're going to turn it on over to him. Dr. Palmer, are you available? Are you there?
I am. Good evening, and thank you so much for having me back on your show, John.
Amen. Father, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Always good to hear from you.
Amen.
If you would like to take a moment, you know, to, you know, give us a history for those who are listening in for the first time that have never heard you, where you're from, your church. You never know when anyone's in your neck of the woods, and at least if they're looking for a place to worship, they know that they can familiarize themselves because they have, you know, talked to you and been on blog with you at that time. Amen?
Absolutely. Certainly. Thank you. And thanks again for having me on your show. I am Bishop Palmer. I'm located in Waldorf, Maryland. And the name of the ministry here is Israel Total Life Ministry Incorporated. We have been in operation here in Waldorf about 10 years. And we are growing and loving congregation, one who loves the Lord. Well, multicultural, we love people, and we pray that people will love us. So that's just a little bit about us, and we hope that if you're in the area, you'll come by, stop by, visit us. We have real people that answer the phone for you and real people that talk to you to let you know where we are and who we are about. If you want to look at our ministry and know a little bit of something about us, you can visit us on www.itlm.org. That's India Tango Lima Mary .org. And you can find out all you need to know about our ministry, with the exception of the preacher. You have to come and hear him in person. So we thank God for you and being on the line with us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
If you're ready, John.
We're going to turn it on over to you, and we're going to turn it over to you, Dr. Palmer, and however the Lord leads you, you know, as you share with us, you know, we are just anxiously awaiting to see what God has laid on your heart. Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight is an interesting subject again, and I thank you for tuning in with us on the radio and the airwaves and the internet. We're going to be talking about time management. So many times people are somewhat turned off when you talk about time management as it pertains to serving God. We stated during our first lesson, if you want to really turn people off about doing church work, there's two things you can mention. You can start talking about sin. They kind of have a deaf ear to it. And then you talk about money. Certainly they have a deaf ear to it. But time management is right up there in a third. That tells you that your time management is important to God, and certainly it should be important to us. The Bible tells us in Acts 17 and 28 that through him we live and move and have our being. What that equates to is that God owns all of our time. Being that he owns our time, we should have enough reverence to God to give him our time in a reverent way. One of those reverent ways is to be on church, be at church on time, and be in our assigned places on time. Tonight, we have the opportunity to talk about managing your time and some things that keep us from managing our time well. On our last gathering, we talked about the purpose in which we'll be studying tonight, and our goal is really set aside to understand how valuable time is to us. We had reiterated that if you don't manage your time well, you won't manage anything else well either. And I know that could be refuted by some, but the fact of the matter is a lot of people show their whole card when they don't manage their time well. You cannot trust someone to do great things in the kingdom of God when they're constantly late for your meetings, or they come to church late, or they don't show up at the appointed time that they need to be. Those are the ones we need to refer to Matthew 25 when it talks about the 10 virgins, 5 that had oil in their lamp and 5 that did not. The ones who weren't prepared for the Lord's coming, that weren't on time with the oil, did not make it into the kingdom of God. So time is valuable for us. Life is made up of time, and we ought to respect the time that God has given to us. Wasting time is actually wasting life. Once time passes, it's history. It's gone. It can never be retrieved. So time is an investment for us. The hands on the clock never move backwards. And then time, Nate, waits for no man. So we know, as it was said by St. Augustine of Hippo, that time never takes time off. So time will not wait on us. Time will always be a constant for us. And God has given us the time to worship him in spirit and in truth, and that we need to really value. So tonight, as a short recap, we will talk about our time management and why time is so important to us, because time relentlessly marches on, and some people foolishly choose to waste it, and then others choose to manage it. Those who choose to manage it is those that God has his hand upon and God uses as a wise heart. Therefore, we always say those who really manage their time well are very wise. One of the things that I think we'll hit on tonight will be what steals our time. And then the other thing I think we'll talk about for a little while is what stretches our time. Our time can be redeemed. And our scripture for tonight will be Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Again, it will be Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. That would be the basis of our study on this evening. And it reads as thus: therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So time has to be important to God if he's telling us to make the most of our time. When we make the most of our time, people count us as being wise in the body of Christ. So I don't know if you are with me or not tonight, but time has to be how you walk, time has to be how you talk, time has to be anchored in you, and what people think about you and how people can trust you with the time allotted to you. I always lose the demonstration. I was a military man for some 30 years, and I used the illustration about those who neglect time will always get left behind. We had precision times in the aviation ministry, or I call it a ministry, in the aviation business, where we had aircraft that would take off exactly on the second without aborting. And if you can imagine, as a passenger, you go to the normal aviation station and you're going to catch a flight, many of us understand how important time is. The planes do not wait on you. The aircraft does not wait. Regardless of how important you think you are, the aircraft cannot afford to delay and wait on you. Other circumstances, which we'll talk about, may cause the aircraft to delay, and you may be fortunate this particular day, if you are late, that the plane did not take off on time and you are able to catch your flight. But as a norm, the delays will cause a domino effect throughout the aviation industry, not just for the city that you are in, but throughout the cities of the day that that aircraft goes to. So it has to take off on time. That's the reason they're so particular about time. And we have to do the same thing in retrospect and in reverence to God, I should say, that we need to be on time for whatever it is that God has assigned us to do, especially as far as church is concerned. Let me talk about a little tonight about time stealers, the things that really rob us of our time. We know that time is packed with potential for immense good. Let me say that again. Time is packed with potential for immense good. Satan spares no effort in trying to steal our time. If you think about it for a minute and you find out where your time goes, if you look back, you will find out that someone robbed you of the time that you had to complete assignment. And we know what the motive of the adversary is: rob, kill, and destroy. So therefore, if someone robbed you of your time, then it was an act of the adversary and not an act of God. Let me talk about what a thief is. Thieves will rob us of the opportunity of doing good when given a chance. If we decide to give a thief a chance to rob us of our opportunity to do good for God, the thief will take it. Now let me take a break here and let you respond, if you will, on the times you may think that you're robbed of time. If you think about today, your day may not have been full because someone robbed you of your time. Things happen to us on a daily occurrence that causes us to lose time, either in time in praying, time in getting to work, time in getting your children on school on time, whatever the case may be. Somewhere along the line, you're robbed of your time. I want it to be interactive tonight, so if there's anybody on the line would love to share about a moment today when they've been robbed of time, I'll open the lines up now for you to do so.
Bishop Palm, I just want to make a comment. We have everyone's mic open, and for those of you, if you are active in the background or you have anything moving, we can pick up everything. So if you could mute your mics, that would be a blessing, because we can hear everything that's going on in the background. So someone is active, and we hear everything that they're doing, moving around or whatever the case may be. So if you could just mute your mic, and when you're ready to share, then you can open up your mics. We do thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much. Is there one that wants to share the time that they may have been robbed of today?
All mics are open, so you can just go ahead and just share. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let me move on to the principles of tonight. If there's no one that wants to share what time they may have been robbed of today, they may be thinking about it, and something that's come across your mind, you certainly interject. I really don't mind. Just come on the line and interject and ask if you can ask a question or make a comment in the time. We certainly will allow you the moment to do so, because we want to be interactive about this time management that we're spending tonight. The principles of what we're looking at tonight are the same as what we had last week, because the principles never change. We do. People do. Principles don't. So you got to count each day, because each day counts. That's number one. Every day of your life counts. You are assigned something every day in the body of Christ, know it or not, witness or not. Even if you don't have conversation with people, you walk circumspectly before the Lord because you are now a Christian. Someone is watching your walk with God every day. Amen. Number two, successful people are in control of their time. If you are one that is always flighty, you don't have your stuff together when you go to work, you run around in the morning, you can't get to work, you're mad at the traffic, you're driving crazy, you're doing all kind of stuff, it's very unlikely that you're going to be a successful person in what you aim and what you set your goals to do, because you do not plan. So there's a lot in this when we start studying how to be timely with God. Once we practice what we do at church, it will manifest itself at home. If we know how to be timely, if we know how to be on time for God, then that will permeate and penetrate and really relate to your job and everything else that you do. You'll learn how to be on time. Thirdly, God does not ask us to do more than he gives us time to do. God will not give you an assignment throughout the day that he doesn't allow you enough time to complete.
Amen.
We, the people of God, oftentimes don't give God the time necessary to complete the task that he's already given us. But surely we have the time to complete it. I just had a staff meeting last evening, and there were several comments about not having enough time. And it was very apropos because they had this lesson. And you know, I just paused and looked, and they said, well, really, we did have enough time. They said it themselves. We just didn't take the time or use the time wisely to complete the task at hand. So God does not assign you to do things that he does not allow you enough time to do. Let's talk about time stealers that steal your time. And I know that there will be inputs and comments on these things that we're going to talk about right now. The first thing is circumstances. Everybody owns them. Circumstances. Everybody has them. Everybody owns them. They allow us to do things, and then they disallow us to get things done. And we become obsessed with circumstances. As a matter of fact, some people want you to be obsessed with their circumstances because all they want you to talk about is what they are going through and how bad it is for them. And these are the saints of God that should have relief from their circumstances and able to walk circumspectly before God and have a time management set aside when they can praise and worship the Lord. So our circumstances are often with us day in and day out. It's how you manage the circumstance that's in front of you that God becomes pleased with.
Amen.
Amen. So our circumstances will, in fact, I'll repeat, our circumstances will, in fact, determine how we treat God. God is not going to wipe away all your circumstances, but your circumstances can be wiped away by God.
Amen.
Amen. So let me just, before I move on, let's think of a circumstance that you have that may have prevented or even added to your worship with Christ. Anyone on the line want to comment? Anyone on the line want to comment about your circumstances?
Everybody's kind of quiet out there. We have a lot of numbers out here, Dr. Palmer. You know, 708-2408-4361. All of you, please just share. I mean,
Hello, Dr. Palmer. This is Vonta Woolborn. I'm tuning in from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Hi, cousin Reverend. I just wanted to comment, just a general comment and observation. I find it interesting because I don't take the time to tune in every Wednesday as I should. I keep recommitting myself over and over and over again, and I allow my circumstances to prevent me from doing so, and my defense, which is paltry at best. I do attend school. I work. I have children. I have a mother in a nursing home, et cetera, et cetera. And I assume responsibilities in addition to those that I'm still not quite sure that God called me to do. So I find it interesting that you're talking about time management when I have a major project in a contract law class due at 11:59 tonight that I'm not even halfway through. So I kept looking at the screen on my phone and saying, but I don't have time. But I don't have time. And then I decided that I was going to call in. I never looked to see who the speaker was. I never looked to see what the topic was. I hurriedly called my auntie over in Oxon Hill and said, hey, tune in to Blog Talk tonight. I'm going to be listening. I don't have a whole lot of time. It's going to start in a couple of minutes. And it occurred to me that absolutely God was moving because you were talking about the very thing that, because I said, Lord, I'm going to show you, I'm going to worship you by showing you that I put you first, that you take first precedence over anything, any circumstances in my life, that you, I give my time to you as priority, and that's what you're talking about this evening. So I find that really interesting. This is encouraging. It's kind of like confirmation. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. You're in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. You're not that far from me. I'm from Waldorf, of course. So we're right next to one another. But thank you for coming online, and thank you so much for those comments tonight, because we do get stuck in our circumstances. And what the trick of the enemy is to steal our time while we are set, or so set, or concrete set in our circumstances. We start thinking about our circumstances more than we think about the release of our circumstances. There's a saying, and I can't quote where it came from, but it's been with me for a while, which says, we have to stop telling God about our problems. In other words, we have to stop telling God about our circumstances. In reverse, we need to tell our circumstances about God. Or we need to tell our problems about God, because God is the one who can handle our circumstances. It's just like being in a fight and say, you don't know, but I have a big brother. You don't want me to tell my big brother about this issue, because I know that he can handle you. So we have to tell our father, we have to tell our daddy our circumstances and what's going on with us, therefore he can handle them. If we don't confess what it is that's going on with us, then we're going to be stuck with it. God does not automatically fix everything that's wrong with us.
That's good.
We have not because we what? Ask not. So we need to ask. We need to humble ourselves to the point where we can ask God to fix our circumstances. If not, that will steal our time. Now, I hope no one gets their feelings hurt tonight, because I'm going to be very blunt and tell you what happens when we repeatedly come before God with the same thing that he has already sent his angels to heal us of. And it's really called something common to us, which is laziness. Laziness is a disease for us. It's a disease. It causes us not having to do much. We don't pray much. We don't say much. We're disinclined to act. We have no energy. We're slowful. We're sluggish. We're droopy. You know, when we go into the service and get into the presence of God, we are to enter the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We have it so backwards that we wait for the praise team, or we wait for someone to kind of rejuvenate us so we can clap our hands, when the fact of the matter is we already should go into the service with expectation of God doing exactly what he says he's going to do. I believe that God is going to heal me of my he already knows what he's going to heal me of my circumstances today. You don't need a choir. You don't need a preacher. You don't need nobody to talk to you. Hold your hand. Get around you in those circles. You need to come into the sanctuary with thanksgiving on your mind and knowing that God is going to do what God does so very well, and that is to take care of the things that's ailing you, because God does not like his children to be stressed out about stuff.
Wow.
Amen. So we have to change our tactic with the enemy and change our tactic with him. We are overwhelmed by so many things, and our time is stolen by the enemy. That's his job. That's his job, to put you in the point where you are stressed out about getting your work done. Before I finished school, I shouldn't say I'm finished school, we're ever learning about something, but before I finished my program, it seemed as though I was always taking it to the edge, taking it right to the edge. I got all week long, and it seemed like something was just keeping me from getting there and taking it right to. That was the adversary robbing me of my time, so that when I get to my last Sunday night and I have to turn my paper in before 11:59 at night or whatever the case may be, it looked like I'm always rushing, not wanting to go and praise the Lord, not giving God no time, not giving people time with me, not to talk or praise the Lord, because I had misused that time that I was allotted throughout the week to do what God had for me to do. So now I'm crunched for time. And saints of God, we should never be crunched for time, because God does not give us assignments that he does not give us enough time to do.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
So our second part of how, you know, a time stealer through laziness is that we have a lot of leisure and comfort time. Now, let me say everyone deserves to have some downtime. Everyone needs to have some sort of retreat. Jesus had retreat. He had a retreat from the people that were draining him. But he had a retreat at times and go over to the other side of the river. But we, the people, have become so much acceptable in our leisure and comfort time, we take it now as a right that we got to have it. We're going to do it. We're not going to do it. I had another discussion about folks the other night where we were talking about how much they come to church. They come to church too much. You know, they come and I come on Sunday, and then I got choir practice on Friday, and then you expect me to be there on Wednesday night Bible study. And, you know, I had to sit back and say, you know, I really don't expect you to be here other than when God anoints you to do so. So if it's your flesh coming, then you're really not doing God any good. But if your spirit is bringing you here, it's something different.
Amen.
You know, if God says, okay, I'm just going to be with you 3 days a week, where would we be? If he just lifted his hand and said, I will be with you 3 full days out of the 7 days that I have given unto you, where would we be? I'm not saying that you should be at church every day. I'm not saying that you should be, but we ought to worship God every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we can worship God every day, it has to become a lifestyle for us. It can't become a life living. It has to be a lifestyle. That's what I do. That's who I am. But when we take leisure time and we get to the place where we're comfortable not worshiping God and not giving God the glory and praise of Christ, we eventually will take more leisure time and more leisure time and more leisure time, and then we will only come on a Sunday, maybe, if it doesn't interrupt with our football or baseball game or whatever else we're doing.
That's so true.
So we have to be very, very, very alert to how the adversary is trying to rob us of our time. Amen.
Amen.
Thirdly, and then I give an open mic again, is that we have become a sedentary society. Sedentary means that we don't do a lot. We're sitting around a lot. That we're not involving ourselves much with physical activity, but it's inactivity that's really getting to us. And when we become sedentary, it's noted because in America, we are indeed the most overweight society in the world. So we must have sedentary. And what happens when we become that way, this is not to shed light on anyone because of their weight, because we got folks that are 97 pounds that won't praise the Lord. So it has nothing to do with your weight or your body fat. But society, sedentary society, has to do with your mindset and how you respect God. So we have people that will not give God the praise. They will not clap hands. They're just too cool, or whatever you call it, too laid back. They've gotten to the point where I don't have to praise God like that. I don't have to worship God like that. And we need to be mindful to help those people to give God all, not some. To worship God with all of your might, all of your soul, and all of your heart, everything that you are. We ought to be worshiping God with everything that we got when we come to church. Matter of fact, we ought to have some David dancers. I'm looking, you know, one day just have a breakout of men with David dancers. Amen. That's going to give God the praise. It's going to give God the and not worry about who's by them, who's sitting beside them, or what. As a matter of fact, you know, praising God could be the most exciting thing in your life. Perhaps if you give God the glory, you wouldn't have all that effortlessness of laying around and doing things and not being able to come and worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So we need to get out of the mindset that we can be so comfortable when we come to church that we are too cool to give God the glory, or we're too dressed, or we're too whatever to give God the praise and glory that's rightly deserved him.
Preoccupied.
So, We have to get it out of our mind that we're not sedentary in the society that we live as far as Christ is concerned. We must give God the glory. I love the portion of scripture where David came into the city leading the Ark of the Covenant, where he danced out of his clothes, and then he looked up and his wife was looking out of the window and said, "Look at you. You're the king, and you're dancing like that." And David's reply was this. He says, "I can get even more indignant than that." Yeah, he said, "Hey, you ain't seen me dance yet." So when we get to the point of dancing for God, we can't worry about the people around us. Sometimes even the closest people that are with us, we cannot. We have to focus, mm-hmm. and that's being in the spirit of Christ Jesus, to give him all the glory and honor that's just rightly due him. Then God starts raining on you. Mm-hmm. All your circumstances and all that stuff will start leaving you because God is starting to rain on you. There's another study that I won't be able to give tonight for sure, but it has to do with favor. God is a God of favor.
Amen.
Isaiah 61:1-3 talks about the favor of the Lord. And if we dare to read and think about what God is doing through the favor of the saints of God. See, God used people to bless people.
Amen.
So favor will come your way if you praise God to the utmost. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, two things happen. One thing is grace will follow you all the days of your life. The other thing is mercy shall follow you all the days of your life.
Amen.
So grace and mercy following you all the days of your life, that doesn't leave any room for anything else to be behind you but grace and mercy.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is cast our past behind, because grace and mercy is between us and our past.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Once grace and mercy is there, grace and mercy's job is to report on you. It's report back to God how you're doing.
That's good.
So grace and mercy says, today, you know, Sister Maggie was good. If Sister Maggie was good. Today, she praised the Lord. Amen. Today, Sister Maggie, blah, blah, blah. And they report back to God through the Spirit on how you're doing. And guess what? When they give a great report on you to God,
hallelujah.
This is personified now. This is personified now. When they give a great report to you on God, guess what? Guess who's standing beside God? Favor. Favor standing right beside God, waiting to be loosed. And favor can't wait, because favor said, "Man, my job is to go help somebody. My job is to go release somebody. My job is to go heal somebody. My job is to go get somebody out of their circumstances. So I want to have favor." See, grace and mercy don't do that for you. It's the grace of God upon you and mercy on your soul. But favor, when you find favor with God, my God, it releases and it comes. Favor shoots from God. I mean, the moment God waves his hand and says, "My saint, my son is doing well, my daughter is doing well," favor shoots and comes your way. You ever seen people that have favor in their life?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. When favor comes and finds your address, it's something that nobody can explain. You know, that's why they say the favor ain't fair. It's fair.
Yes,
you know, it's
sir.
Fair if you praise God, if you give God all the glory and honor that's rightly due him. Don't let the devil steal your time. Favor will, in fact, find your address, and favor will fall upon you.
That's good.
Let me open the line so I don't want to get pricked. But let me open the line to those tonight as it pertains to the favor of the Lord and being in a sedentary society. Anyone have any comments there before I move on? Anyone with any comment?
I'm about ready to bust. This is good.
Yeah. Amen. Bless his name. Amen. Well, let me move to the fourth before moving on. First, I was talking about the circumstances. The second thing that I hope that you're writing or keeping log of is that we become too leisure and comfortable in what we do. And then the third is that the sedentary assignment or society that we live in, and it's happening in the church too, because we got people in the church that couple up and get together, those who don't praise God. Even in my church, there's some folks that's on one side that's praising God like they're crazy. Then other folks sitting on the other side acting like they can't even hear what the message is saying. So it's unreal.
It's so true.
Amen. So, you know, misery loves company,
so
and they seem to gather up in their own spots. But, you know, I strategically am going to have me some Davids all over the church somehow.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen. Those who dance out of their clothes and give God the glory that's rightly due him. So let me hit the fourth one. Here is what we need to be very conscious of, even in ourselves and in our witness for God. If the preposition parts your lip, then you know you have an issue, which is this. If God wanted me to be, Lord, have mercy to you. See, if God wanted me to have, or if God wanted me to be, wherever that preposition starts, you know that the adversary is present.
Wow.
Because God is not an iffy God.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's good. That's good.
Amen. We serve a but God. You understand? We don't serve if God. You know, I was sick, but God. Amen. You know, I was lonely, but God. I was downtrodden, but God. So if the preposition that starts, if God wanted me to be, he would do this. And if God wanted me to be, he would do that. That is a adversarial, antichrist, really statement that you know that someone needs help. And you have to pray for them in their circumstances. Let them finish what they're saying, but let them know that my God is not that way. My God is not an if God. My God is a do God. My God is an active God. And he will take care of your circumstances if you yield your members unto him. There's nobody like Jehovah. And we have to express that to him. Let me move right along. I think it's 8:45, so we're keeping time. But the discussion tonight about our slothfulness. Let me read something to you that comes out of Proverbs 18 and 9. Proverbs 18 and 9. The Bible says, one who is lax in his work is a brother to the one who destroys. Now we know who that is. The one who comes to rob, kill, and destroy, that's the adversary. Then the Lord says in his word, one who is slack in his work, if you're slack in what you do for Christ, then you are a brother to that one who comes to rob, kill, and destroy.
Wow.
Lord, have mercy on
Jesus. Wow.
You know, I don't want to be part of his sibling group. I don't want to be part or associated with the adversary, not by God. So therefore, I don't want to be slack or lack in what it is that God has assigned me to do. I need to have that with zeal. That's why I don't let it part my lips that I have to go to church. I have to preach. I don't have to preach. I want to go to church. I want the priesthood of God. I want to be on the praise team. I want to be on the deacon board. I want to help clean the grounds. I have a desire to. Amen. You know, because today, with my expectation, I believe with my whole heart that favor is going to be released, especially for me.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo. Have mercy.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the second thing is, oftentimes when we are slothful in Christ Jesus, we ignore the door that is marked opportunity. Let me say it again. Opportunity knocks, but we ignore the door that is called or marked opportunity. Now, let me put it in the vernacular. There is no way that we can say someone kept us from getting what God had appointed us to have.
That's good.
Amen. So time out for blaming it on this person, blame it on that person, blame it on this group, blame it on that group. Because when you do that, you demise God. You demise the Lord that you serve. You're saying that God is not able to give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Certainly, He wants you to have it. Now, do we deserve it? Oh, by the grace of God, we have what we have. I mean, you're living and you're sitting in a comfortable position right now by the grace of God.
That's it.
So everything we have, we just said and confirmed that through him we live and move and have our being in Acts 17:28. So if we live and move and have our being by Christ, Christ is the one that's creating everything for us to have. It is not because you went and got a degree. It's not because you have a PhD. It is not because that you went to a secular school and accumulated some education and now they have to hire you because of your qualifications.
Amen.
Everything we receive is by the grace of God and from God's favor. And we have to acknowledge that. Amen.
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 Now is your turn for number three. Describe your last lazy spell. With all those amen. This, you know, and we know that we become lazy. You see, the thing we have to do is admit that I didn't put my fullness towards the Christ that I serve. I didn't give my very best. I gave some, but I didn't give my very best. And when we recognize that, we'll do better the next time.
Amen.
We'll do much better for Christ when we realize that we didn't do as well for Christ as we should have. You know, some people that got jobs, some getting six-figure jobs, some getting jobs even more than that, and they're not even giving Christ the glory.
My gosh.
Oh, my God. They won't even let the Lord know and say, thank you. They kind of like the 10 lepers that God healed. And he healed, and only one came back to say thank you. The other nine, he asked the question, were there 10 of you? And only one came back to say thank you? Well, I don't want to be part of that nine, even though that seemed to be the majority.
Amen.
I want to be part of that one group that comes back and tells the Lord, thank you for what he has done for me. So our lazy spells, when we get them, are curses on us. When we don't feel like, oh, I should have, you know, I really should have gone to, you know, women's fellowship. I really should have went to the men's fellowship. And you know the thing that you sit and did in place of that. If you think back now, what you did in the place not being under the auspices or under the cover of the Lord probably wasn't worth it.
Mm.
Mm. So I ask again, anyone on the line, describe your last lazy or slowful spell.
My last lazy spell was actually, I'd say, probably about the last month when I learned first that my job was ending on the 31st of August, around the 17th of August, after praying and begging God and figuring out how to get my baby to school in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
I got back the next day from dropping her off. I went to the mailbox on the way home and found a notice to vacate my home by September the 30th. So my last lazy spell wore the cloak of overwhelmed.
Yeah.
See, I haven't been able to do anything, you see, because I'm so overwhelmed. And, oh, God, I can't. Blah, 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 blah. And
right.
So I now realize in stepping out on faith and watching God move, as he always does. I don't know why I ever doubt him, because he always
right.
does. But in watching God move during this period, and I'm still struggling. We're not there yet. But in watching God move and having a real restoration of my faith at a Richard Smallwood concert with my cousin, I realize now, I look back in retrospect and really what I consider to be overwhelmed. You know, you're just so bogged down and so much going on at one time that you can't do any one thing because you're so overwhelmed. I realize now that was lazy. I really was just being lazy. I was tired. I was tired of the frustration and all of that. And so I said, I'm just going to relax, you know, but I didn't realize what I was saying. I was relaxing. I was saying, I'm just too overwhelmed. So that's the last that I have. It wore the cloak of the disguise of being overwhelmed. I realize now, though, that now that I'm back up and moving, that really I was just being lazy. And the laziest part about me was my faith. So that was
absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, it's just a especially a portion of what you were saying, since it would be saying, I know God's going to deliver. I don't know why I was. You know, that's a fight. That's a war with the flesh. And we have those wars with the flesh, which relates back to Romans 7, where Paul was saying those things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. You know, I know it's not what I want to do, but then, you know, evil is kind of always present with me. So, you know, he got to the point where he was worn inside of himself, and you have to have some release. He cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body?"
Who will deliver me from this body?
So this is a thing that we have to fight and war. But the thing that's happening that's going to bless you, and I'm praying God's blessings upon you, is that you recognize that I could do better for Christ Jesus, even in my woeful times.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else? Now, the next part of that is being able to recognize in whatever you do your shortcomings. See, when we cannot recognize our shortcomings, then we cannot be overcomers in the long run. We have to recognize that we have some shortcoming. Whether that shortcoming is not being faithful to our devotion time, whether our shortcoming is not reading the Bible, whether our shortcoming is not paying our tithes, whatever your shortcoming is, we have to be able to recognize it, because God will not and cannot heal it if you don't recognize you had it. Let me give you an example. For many on this line, I will venture to say, I'm going to take a chance and a stretch, but I would venture to say there's probably 90% of us on this line that don't really know what FICA is. F-I-C-A. Something you see on your pay stub.
Mm-hmm.
FICA.
What is that? Mm-hmm.
It's a taxes.
Uh-huh. But this tax that we pay and we don't complain about is done and you say nothing. It's done all the time. I mean, every 2 weeks, every week, every month that you get paid, FICA, and the IRS gets theirs right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay. We have become so accustomed to it that we have ignored it, because it's something that's just going to be done.
Right.
I purport this to you. Perhaps we ought to have the same thing in the body of Christ. Once you commit and admit to God and to the folks on your job that I am a Christian, that I love the Lord, maybe they should take your tithes right out of your check. Send it right to your church for you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
To the point where you don't say nothing. That was a commercial break. I thought I'd throw that in.
I love it. That's a good point.
That's a commercial break. But, you know, we become so acceptable to other things, and things that really mean something to us, or that should really mean something to us, we ignore. You know, so if we continue to ignore our shortcomings, we will never move up to the level in which God wants us to be a servant to him on. And certain small things we need to be able to do.
Amen.
And that's just the gist of that story. Let me give you, in the middle of where we are, our thought for the hour. Remember this. We must guard against thinking that time will last forever, and that opportunity will always knock. It will not.
Could you say that again?
We must guard against thinking that time will last forever.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that opportunity will always knock.
Right.
It will not. It simply will not.
That's right.
God opens doors that we have to step through, and he shuts doors either behind us or in front of us that we shouldn't go through. But the opportunity presents itself at certain times, as it says in Ecclesiastes 13. There's a time for everything. There's a time for you to have the right this, the right mate, the right money, the right house, the right child. All kind of things are based on time. We stretch time sometimes and get it all messed up. Therefore, we need a Savior like Jesus to help us with our messed up time zone that we find ourselves in.
Amen.
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 But God
Amen.
Created time in perfect order. That's why it doesn't change. That's why we don't get 25 hours out of a 24-hour day.
Wow.
Because the time that we have is in perfect order.
Wow.
Amen. So we talked about our slothfulness. Here's how we overcome it. We have to fight the spirit. That's why you have to recognize it. You have to fight the spirit of slothfulness. You have to fight the spirit of saying, woe is me. And then you have to remind yourself that God will open up an opportunity. I know he will. God is going to open up an opportunity. This is why many of the saints of God are getting depressed. Not long ago, there was a preacher, I think he was from Georgia, that killed himself. They thought it was fine. He committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to constantly remind your spirit that God has every opportunity in his hand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And with your time that you have allotted, for the church that you're in right now, you got to do these two words. Do something. I don't care what it is. Greet people. Do something. Get on the usher board. Do something. Praise team. Some of the do something. Whatever God has called you to do, do something. Don't be an unemployed saint of God sitting in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You're increasing the unemployment rate. Amen. Do something. My God. So, you know, we got too many do nothings that do something. And most of the do nothings are the biggest ones that complain.
Yes, they
might are. Not be any on this line, but most of those are the largest ones that complain. But do something for the Lord. I mean, your gift, the Bible says, your gift shall make room for you.
For you.
God has given to us, each one of us, a gift.
That's right.
We don't have gifted and non-gifted people in our church. God has given everyone a gift and a measure of faith that go along with it. So we are obligated to give it. And the gift that you have is not for you. This is not Christmas. This is, you know, it's not your birthday. So the gift that you have is for somebody else. Somebody else needs what God has given unto
That's
you
good.
That they can make it through.
That's right.
Amen.
The gift that you have is based on giving it to somebody else. Now, if you sit on your gift so long and God has given you a gift to give to someone else, then your gift will slip away. You won't even recognize what you have. That's why people are confused and not knowing what they're supposed to do in church. How can you go and have a six-digit job, a hot five, whatever it is, and you know what to do there, then you get to church, I don't know what I got to do.
Right.
They only pay you a little. Jesus paid it all.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
So we have to get off of where we are. You know, that's what GO stands for, get off. Amen. So we have to get off where we are and move to Christ. Amen. Another way to overcome it, it's a good thing to take a nap. But when your nap turns into a long spell of rest, then you know you're in trouble. And some of us can rest for years. I just talked to several folks that I had called Sunday, that God had called to the ministry. And I had all of them to come to the altar, all of those who had church hurts, all of those who had been beat up or bothered by another church somewhere, and the altar was full. Church hurts.
Yes.
So they didn't want to do anything else because they'd been hurt by another church somewhere.
Right, right.
So I want to step into it. You know, I don't know. You were calling to the ministry. You don't want to step back in. No, I'm going to put that down. I said, how can you put down what God has given you, what God called you to do? Amen. God appointed you. Now you're going to disappoint yourself?
Wow.
So we have to guard against those things.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because we become sleepers. We go to sleep on God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. And we won't do what God has commissioned us to do. And guess what? God gives each one of us a gift. It's sort of like having a puzzle on the table. Some pieces that look like they're supposed to go there don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
But the correct piece to that puzzle is on the table.
Wow.
And once that piece is jointly fit in the spot it's supposed to, pretty soon we keep finding out where we're supposed to be, which is called our purpose, then the beautiful picture of heaven is revealed to us.
That's good.
So you are part of the picture that's painted on that canvas. And you got to find your right spot. Your gift will make room for you. You got to find a spot that God has called you for purpose to be where you are. And you got to do it in a timely fashion. You just can't wait for years. People are trying to be blessed. Some people can't cross the bridge because you refuse to be that ruin that get them across.
That's right.
That's good.
Helping out blessings.
Yes, that's good.
Amen.
Amen.
So we can overcome some of this stuff that we have against us, but we have to know how to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any comments before I go on? I'm about halfway through. I'm going to have to speed up a little bit.
I have a question. I just believe that we all have assignments to do in the kingdom, and I believe it's our job and it's our time now to
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do it. Just do what you got to do because
Amen.
It's time.
Yeah.
You know, it's here.
Thank you so much.
You have a gift. You have a gift that God has given you. Begin
mm-hmm.
to exercise it. Begin to use it. Because
like
you said, I do agree with you that somebody is waiting on you to get them through, or somebody's waiting on you to bless them or heal them through your gift.
Absolutely.
You holding up blessings. When you hold on to that assignment, that gift that God has given you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, I'm praying that we don't get to the spot where God says, depart from me. You know, you got a gift, but after a while you don't put your gift in place. God said, depart from me.
Wow.
You work up iniquity. Because you didn't use your gift. You didn't give.
Wow.
You didn't use what I gave you.
That's right.
Amen. So.
Wow.
So I'll tell you this, and then I'll move on very quickly, that right here in our state of Maryland, and the ladies from Upper Marlboro may be familiar with this, but we have in this particular county that the clergy are going very concerned about is that we have a bathroom law that's being incorporated. Y'all know what a bathroom law is? You heard of it before?
Mm-mm.
No.
That's where anybody can use any bathroom.
What?
Yeah, it's like unisex. I mean, you just go in the bathroom, open in public. And, you know, not only is it not ethical, but we have slumped by not saying. Our voice, the voice of the church should be so strong. It really should be so strong that they say, we dare not come to do anything abominable before God without consulting the church of the living God. And by us not stepping and using the gift that God has given unto us, they dare take the chance. And guess what? They're winning.
Yeah.
Because we're not stepping out together as a body.
And if we're silent, that means we're condoning what they do. Yeah, when we're silent.
Yeah. Yeah. Silence is conceit in many cases.
Yeah,
so, you
conceding.
Know,
yeah.
We have to walk with our feet and talk with our feet. And let them know, no, we can't stand for that. You know, and if they
get,
really, really, if they just get a stampede of real women that love
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
that say we're not standing for it, it'll change. I mean, it would change overnight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we become so acceptable to so many things until the point is coming where we don't know what the truth is because we're accepting all other things. Mm-hmm. I'm just about complete with this book I'm trying to write. But I hope that it would touch people all through the world and they would concede. It's called acceptable contamination. Some things that we have started to just accept is just getting in the way. We have a contaminated spirit, but we're accepting it. And as we accept it, you know, we get
like that with a lot of things, though. And I mean, with all of the other things that are going on, and we call it being politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sit back and accept it.
Accept it
until it's, we're no longer, we've become numb to things that are definitely against God.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's very, you know, people that are weak are really counting on those that are strong to do the right thing. So I pray that God would continue to strengthen us. Let me talk about another intruder of our spirit before we run out of time, and that is procrastination.
Uh-oh.
Procrastination is really a thief of our time. This means that we begin to postpone God's task. Say, I'll get to it. And the fact of the matter is, the more we do it, the more mastery we become.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have become masters of learning how to put off God.
Mm-hmm.
The call of God is right on your life, but we procrastinate in doing it because we want to see what people think.
Wow.
We want to hear what people think.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we are prone to excuse ourselves from the responsibility that God has already said, I'm going to make a way, I'm going to pass, I'm going to carve it, I'm going to make it happen, but we procrastinate and we won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Balaam did the same thing in the scriptures when he was supposed to go to war, and he wouldn't go until he talked to Deborah. Deborah said, you know you're supposed to go do this thing. God has already given you the mandate to do it. He said, I won't go without you. She said, if I go with you, you're not going to get the victory for it.
Mm-hmm.
But me. And then he waited on her to go with him, and she went and she got the victory. Now, what does that do? That tells you God will use whoever is bold enough to step out and do his will. But those who procrastinate, put off and put back, then it causes a mess. I'm not a chauvinist by any means, but the reason that women have to walk so hard in the society now is because our men are just not stepping up.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Therefore, God has to use the vessel that is willing to do the work.
That's true.
Amen. Amen. So we really have to change and push our young men. Our young men's conference on next week is really pointed toward reconstruction of the house, where we can reconstruct the minds of young men and old men to step out and stop. Stop letting your wife go to the door in the middle of the night to see if anybody's intruding on the outside. You laying up in the bed. That's crazy.
Jesus.
Let me get that out. Okay, y'all forgive me. Let me get back on this lesson. Amen.
Jesus.
let me get back. Help. Procrastination really kills the time of the people of God. And let me just give you a few biblical examples. Israel seeking to enter the promised land. That's coming out of Numbers 11, 40 through 45. Please write these down and read them. I'm not going to be able to go through them all tonight for you.
Okay.
But Israel seeking to enter the promised land. It was amazing how they sent spies out to look over the land, and only Joshua and Caleb came back and say, hey, we got a land that's full of milk. Amen. The grapes they bought back were on two sticks. It was just too big to carry, and the figs they bought back and said, look what we have. And then the other men came back with a bad report. We got too many people in the body of Christ that keep giving us bad reports.
Amen.
Because they're just putting off doing what God has already told them, I'm going to give you the land. If he says he's going to give you the land, that means he's going to wipe out everything in the land. Anak and all the other giants there, the Amorites and all of those, God was going to wipe them out. but we procrastinate in doing what God called us to do. The second one I want you to look at is when Saul repented of his disobedience in 1 Samuel 15, Saul was disobedient with Christ. In other words, he was procrastinating doing what God told him to do. The third one is Israel repenting of sin. It comes from Jeremiah 8 and 20. And then the fourth one is one I've mentioned tonight, is that the 10 virgins and the bridegroom in Matthew 25, you can read 11 and 12. Actually, you can read more than that, but 11 and 12. It tells you about the virgins not having their oil in their lamp. So, you know, they procrastinated putting off. It's like you. People that run out of gas, they put off putting gas in their car. It's a shame. They have the money to get the gas, but they just won't want to stop at the station. They keep procrastinating. Oh, I get the next one. Oh, I can go a little further. I get the next one. Next thing you know, they run out of gas, and it costs them three times the amount to put gas in their car because they have to find somebody to tow them and help them and do all kinds of things. That's the saints of God. It costs us three times the amount. Oftentimes, we don't do what God has commissioned us to do. The root of procrastination is really fear. Something happens to us. And if the MO of the Antichrist is to come in and rob, kill, and destroy, it has to be the dark spots in our lives that causes fear in our lives. It causes us to procrastinate and not do it again. Many of us that have gone through broken relationships, many of you that have broken relationships, the reason you won't enter into another relationship and you procrastinate about entering into another relationship is because of fear of being hurt again. If we put God first, that fear, that false evidence appearing real, will be dissipated.
That's good.
If we put God first, if we dare to ask God to find us a mate instead of going online trying to find one ourselves.
My God.
Who fits me? Who fits this?
My God.
Ask God. God will. You know, God will line it out for you. Even the thing that seems to be, that's so nice. They got it on TV now where churches are trying to find mates within their own church. But the thing is, we need to ask God. It may not be any of those. God has to reveal it to us.
Right? So true.
Amen. And then with procrastination, we waste valuable time. Waste valuable time. And another reason for procrastination is that sometimes we see our success. And success means that we will have more responsibility. See, we procrastinate doing what God says to, even in ministry. When you have the call of God on your life, we stop and we want to figure out what God is going to do with us. So we fear the responsibility that comes along with being accountable to someone.
Wow.
So we are procrastinate accepting the call of Christ. Let me move forward. Yeah. Procrastination hurts us in two ways. The first way it hurts us is a waste of time and energy, procrastination. And then the second way is that we waste more time and energy making up for the lost time.
That's true.
So that you didn't do when you should have done, you have to spend more time now trying to figure out how you should have done what you were assigned to do in the first place. So now it has taken you four times the amount of time to do what you should have done on time for God. Any mathematicians on the line? Should call that the 4X principle. But that's what it is. And you can verify that through Jeremiah 8 and 20 versus 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. Our last time stopper or time stealer is called distractions. Distractions hurt us in so many ways because we're distracted by so many things, especially if you have been blessed by God to have some things. We stop worshiping God, and we get caught up in our distractions. Let me give an example. We're exposed to a lot of things here in the United States. I recall being overseas, distractions were much less. Overseas, you don't have Walmart, you don't have Kmart, you don't have Saks Fifth Avenue, you don't have malls, you don't have this, you don't have that. So that you have is that you spend more time worshiping God and blessing one another, for those who have been traveled afar and that thing. But here we seem to have a lot of distractions, which we have to control. It was the same way in biblical days when you go into cities. There were a lot of distractions. There was a lot of distractions in Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of distractions in Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And people that didn't know how to deal with it got caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of distractions here among us. There are drugs, there are sex rings, there are all kind of things that you can become distracted by. But it doesn't give you an excuse, because God says, let this mind be in you. It's the same mind as in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So we don't have an excuse about the distractions that start to steal our time.
Mm-hmm.
Another set of scriptures is Philippians 3, 7 through 17. And it talks about what we are to possess. The second scripture I want you to write down is Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, that you need to have your mind fixed on Jesus. Jesus will help you to make the proper use of your time. If not, we face endless circles of distraction.
Wow.
Endless circles of distraction. It kind of reminded me of an old song that I used to sing, You Got Me Going in Circles.
Mm.
Oh, round and round and round I go.
Old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes we just find ourselves in that wilderness experience, going around in circles. The thing that you promised you was going to do in your New Year's resolution, if you're still making those, Lord help us if we are. But the thing that you say you're going to do, you find yourself repeating the same thing that you say you was going to do 2 years ago. And everybody know that your diet is going to start on Monday. Everybody knows. You're distracted by something, you start again. So I'm going to start my diet Monday. Please say, well, I'm going to start my diet Monday. But what we have to do is stay focused and learn to say no and make something happen for Christ. Learn to say no and make something happen for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Are there any interjections at this point? I'm coming up to the end. Lastly, is how we stretch time. You know, time is a constant. It cannot be stretched. So time stretches is an oxymoron, because it can't be stretched. But the man who makes the best use of his time has the most time to spare. Ooh, swallow that one. The one who makes the best use of his time has the most time. In other words, if you get what you're supposed to get done, you have more time to spare. Those who are always lost for time are not taking opportunity to wisely use their time. If you find yourself one that's always catching up and complaining about time, step back, look, and see who's distracting you or who's using up your time. You will find that that distractor is stealing the time that God would have you to plan. Let me just put this here. If you have children, anyone on the line have children?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
If you have children or grandchildren.
Yeah.
I have. They have a natural knack of learning how to steal your time. Natural. As a grandparent, my wife and I are less disciplined with our grandchild than we were with our own children.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why. You know, our own children went to bed at 8:30. No question, because they had to get them to go to school next. When our grandchild comes over, she's allowed to stay up later. I don't know why. I really don't. I don't know what phenomena that is, but but it keeps us from making the best use of our time.
Right.
Amen. Therefore, my own grandbaby, who I love to death, becomes a distractor for getting things done. When my grandbaby comes, First Lady is usually running behind on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. So what happened? What happened to the Sunday before when you were right there at 8:30 at discipleship class? Now you can't get there for 11 o'clock service.
Wow.
You see, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about my own situation, so you understand. I don't mind talking about you. You can't get mad at me because the only me is mad at me. But I'm just saying, we have these natural distractors. If we're not alert to them, they can start to keep us from doing what God has designed for us to do. Amen. And we can't complain. Let me end with the last saying tonight, Brother John and Suzanne. Thank you again for having me on the show, but I want to leave you with this thought. And it comes from John 9:4. It says that we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming.
Wow.
Night is coming.
Yes, it is.
When no man can work. In other words, we got to do what we can while we can.
Amen.
Because this day is not going to last forever. And night is going to come when no man can work. And that is when Jesus will put the period on your life. See, we are living now. We have an appointed time to die.
Yes.
Amen. And we have been given a time to live. So we have a birth, and we have an appointed time to die.
Mm-hmm.
What we live in between that time, it's called our dash. That's why they put it on your headstone.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to ask yourself, what's in my dash?
Mm. That's
is it good times for God? Or I'm just not living a life pleasing in the sight of God?
Mm-hmm.
So you can measure your own dash and know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But work, work, work. Cry is still day. But night is coming when no man can work. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you again, John and Suzanne, for having the show.
Amen.
I pray that you have received a blessing from tonight and that you will be blessed forevermore. Love you much. Bless.
We do thank you so much. Are there any comments, before I go here, come in? Any comments in terms of on the subject of this evening? Any comments? All the mics open.
I just want to say this was I love the second part of time management. This went even into more depth. And, you know, the body of Christ needs to hear this because so many times we overlook or we don't even think of the things that we're doing. But this, what Bishop Palmer was saying, it provokes us to not only think and take inventory of how we're spending our time, but to also provoke us to do, like he says, to do it, do it, do it. And I just want to say it was a good lesson, very good lesson.
Amen, amen.
Very good. Excellent.
Any more comments?
Amen.
The mics are open.
Just want to thank you again, Dr. Larry. This was extremely important for me and critical,
mm-hmm.
in fact, given the circumstances of my life right now and how I've been lamenting for some time now about how I can't get moving, I can't get anything done. And then once I got started, how I am mismanaging my time because it just doesn't seem to be done in the time in which I think that it should be done. This has been so instructive for me and remarkable in the sense that I hadn't even planned on getting on this evening, so I thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And for you that was calling from Upper Marlboro.
That's me.
Amen. I pray that you have the opportunity to come and see me. We are located in Waldorf, 64 Industrial Park Drive. Again, let me mention that our website is www.itlm.org. You can go on our website and see us there and find out what we are about. We are a moving and exciting church, and we'd love to have you to visit. Anytime that you're in the area, please contact us or one of my associates, and we'll be glad to assist you in worshiping the Lord with us in spirit and in truth. God bless you again, Brother John. We will talk. I am going to say good night, and I love you all. God bless.
God bless.
Amen.
Dr. Palmer, we do thank you. We do thank you for that inspiring message. We do thank you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, I did hear earlier in terms of God is a God of favor. So we're going to throw that out there. We're going to be looking for you to come on another time and share that with us. This is such a powerful message, and so it's inspiring, you know, that we're going to be even asking you to come back again whenever you get the opportunity. The Lord avails you the opportunity to come and share with us the God of favor. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to leave that out there to you, for you, as opposed. So again, for all of those of you that called in, we do thank you for tuning in. We hope that you were blessed by the message in terms of the message that was sent in terms of on time. I was taking notes, and it definitely applies to me as far as how I use my time. And I pray that those of you that are on the line, even those of you that are on listening by computer, that you were blessed and was taking notes, because that's basically what it's all about, how we use our time for God. Amen?
Amen.
We do thank you once again. We're going to be closing out at this point in time. We do thank you for everybody that tuned in. We thank you for tuning in. Without you, amen, this would not be anything. So we invite you back. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Next week we have Bishop Eddie Harris from out of Chicago. He'll be speaking with us. His message, I know, is coming from out of Ecclesiastic, but we look forward to hearing him as well and being blessed as well. Amen. So keep in mind, we love you, but God loves you most. Until next time, God bless you.
God bless.
Praise the Lord.
Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask for. Woo!